I want to greet y'all in Jesus' name this morning. Glad to be here this morning. Glad that I could be with you the last couple weeks. Especially yesterday, enjoyed it. Brought many memories back. Many years back, when there were others among us that aren't with us tonight, today. Some things have changed, and yet there's many things that haven't changed. And I really enjoyed being around yesterday. I used to be one of the younger ones. Yesterday, I was one of the older ones. And yet, it's very encouraging to see others coming up and taking their place and continuing on. And yet, we also know that there are those who could be there that weren't there. Those maybe who have left. Those who have decided that to be somewhere else. I guess first this morning I want to give a little tribute to the mothers. The many things that they do, make a house into a home, a group of people or a set of people into a family. You know, thinking yesterday, what would have happened if half the mothers would have decided they're going to sleep in and they're going to do their own thing yesterday. The program... the whole day would have been different. So the mothers do a lot. And we don't always proclaim it or maybe show thankfulness for that. And yet we know it's a very important part that they fill in our lives, in each family's life, and also in the life of the church. Fathers, sometimes they can be sick for a couple days and nothing much changes. But if mother's sick for a day, it seems like it's felt a lot more because of their the things they contribute, the responsibilities they have. So mothers tend to be very responsible people. And we thank them for that. For this morning's message, I would like to talk a little bit about being responsible in our responsibilities. And though they're words we might not find in the Bible, speaking in biblical language, we could say being faithful in those things that we are called to, or those things which are required of us. Being faithful in our responsibilities, being faithful in those things which God has given to us and for us, the things He has created us for. And two things I want to maybe keep in mind this morning as we go through the message. One is a Bible verse, and one is a saying. The Bible verse is, "The things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And that's found in 2 Corinthians. The things that are seen are temporal. Things which are not seen are eternal. If we could keep that verse before us, it helps us to decide. It helps us keep our focus. It helps us to decide which is really most important. as we go through life. The things that seem so important to us today, next week, in 10, 20, 30 years from now, probably won't seem so important. The temporal. And we need to remember that in our busyness. Another thing that I want to keep in mind here as we go through the message is good is the greatest enemy of the best. Good is the greatest enemy of the best. You know, we can do a lot of good things. And maybe we can read a lot of good books. And we can, there's a lot of good things out there. But we want to strive for the best. If we read a lot of good books, but we miss the best book, our life, we probably won't end up where we want to be. And through life, as we make our decisions, look out for the best and choose the best. You know, many times we look around and say, well, there's nothing wrong with this. We hear that all the time. Well, there's nothing really wrong with this. And there's many things out there that are there's really nothing wrong with. But if it keeps us from the best, then we want to be careful. We want to choose the best. Life is short. Life goes fast. Thinking about being responsible. You know, so many, I was thinking of this a couple weeks ago already. We see people who are not responsible. We see people who have maybe chosen different ways. And we see maybe where they are going, where they are heading. Maybe they have made some wrong decisions. And the question is, are we being responsible? Are we making the best decisions in our lives? And I have a couple different points here. The first point is our responsibility in seeking God. We each have a responsibility to, we were created, not for ourselves, for what we could do, but we were created for a purpose. We were bought with a price. We are not our own. And as I was thinking of this, the first thoughts that came to my mind is our responsibility in seeking God. That is our first and primary responsibility for each one of us and for each one who has been born, each person in the world, to seek after the Creator, to seek to fulfill that purpose for which we were created. Luke 11, it talks about seeking and you shall find. God has promised in different verses, in different parts of the Bible, that if we seek Him, that we will find Him. And that's a promise. And we can be sure that that will happen if we really seek Him. And that's our heart's desire. I want to turn to one verse in Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Here it talks about seeking him, and that we believe that he will reward those who are seeking him. And we thank God for that. And last Wednesday evening when we talked about a little bit about hard times. We discussed a little bit about what hard times do for us. And I think it was at least mentioned that hard times bring us closer to him. Help us seek him. We could call hard times a blessing because, in essence, they bring us closer to him. Too many times we're prone to go our own way, to seek our own things, and yet God allows hard times, trials, difficult situations, things that are beyond us to come and bring us back to him. Help us to seek him. And Psalms 42. I want to mention this. This is a verse I've thought about different times. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. David here in Psalms. I like the Psalms. He used many word pictures. As we look at them, it helps us understand. Psalms 42, verse 1. As the hart panteth after water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Thinking of seeking after God. Is that our prayer today? Is that where we are in our lives today? Panting after God as the deer out in the desert is maybe running and the thirst comes upon it and he's looking for a brook for something to assuage his thirst, and that's how we should be today. There are those who have. There are many people out there today who have other things to do besides go to church. They are not thirsting for God. But where are we today? Maybe today we came to see our friends. Maybe we came for other purposes. Or did we come to worship? Did we come to seek God? Did we come because we were thirsty and we wanted to hear from God and have God fill us? As I was thinking of this, I had to think of the story in Luke 19, the story of Zacchaeus. And maybe I will read a little bit of that story. In Luke 19. We all know the story, the little children even. Probably everybody here knows about Zacchaeus. And how his desire was to see Jesus. He had heard so much about Jesus. And although he was had a position, you could say, he was chief of the publicans. He was rich, and yet that did not fill his need. He had a need, And he didn't know where to turn to fill that need. And I think as he heard these stories about Jesus, he wondered if this could be the answer. Is this what I've been looking for? Is this what I've been trying to fill by these other pursuits in my life? So he went to check it out. He went to see. He wanted to hear Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. But he had a couple obstacles in his way. But he did not let that stop him. He got out there where the crowd was. He could see where Jesus was because of the great crowd, the great multitude that was there. But one problem he had is that he was not very tall. He could not look over the people. He could not probably even get that close to them because it says he was short of stature. But here he thought of a way that he could do it. He was not going to let that stop it. He wanted to see Jesus, and he was going to do whatever it took to see him and to hear him. And we think of him, this rich man, climbing a tree, making a spectacle out of himself. Probably had rich clothes on, a rich robe. But he did not care what the people thought, because his heart was seeking. And that's good for us to think about. If we're really seeking God, what other people think is not really that important. And we see the results of Zacchaeus' search. We see that God fulfilled his promise of them that seeking, of those that seek him, he will reward, he will not cast out, he will be found of those. We see that he looked up in a tree and he called him down, and we see the results of him meeting Jesus. His whole life changed. Instead of accumulating and collecting, he was dispersing. And you could say he made a 180-degree turn there. And that is what happens to those who seek Jesus and find him. Those who seek Jesus with the whole heart. And part of seeking Jesus is reading the Bible, praying. That all enters into seeking Jesus. That's part of seeking him. And I trust that we don't seek him just on Sundays or certain, but that throughout the week we are constantly seeking him and desiring his presence in our lives. In Mark, it talks about how those that seek him, it talks about repentance, it talks about baptism, being baptized, and that's as we think of people seeking Jesus, seeking him, hearing him, and obeying him. And that's our responsibility as we seek him, that we do those things, that we hear him and that we obey him. The second point I have here is our responsibility to those around us. And I say to those around us, I have another point where we will talk about the brotherhood some. But to those around us, to those who have not found Jesus yet, we have a responsibility to those people. So many times I find myself comfortable and busy doing my own thing and comfortable in what I have and I forget that there's many others out there who do not have the peace and the family and whatever it might be that we are enjoying. And I'd think of as Jesus called his disciples. We can find that in the different Gospels. Jesus said, "Follow me." And they followed him. But he did not stop with that phrase. He continued on. He said, "I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men." And I think even though that was Jesus speaking to those he called as disciples, I think today that call is still the same. That as he calls us, that he also gives us those responsibilities of seeking other men. And we think of the two kingdoms. It's not just enough to be a part of the kingdom, but we want to build the kingdom. Because of the many blessings that are found there. I had to think of those that time in Israel when they were being besieged and there was a lot of hunger within the city, and the lepers went out and they were out already, and they said, "Well, let's go down to the enemy camp because there is food there. If they kill us, it doesn't really matter because we will be dead anyhow because there's no food." And they went down and found the enemy had fled. And they proceeded to take out food for them and clothes and gold and silver and whatever else it was. Clean out a couple tents, and pretty soon they started talking among themselves. They said, "What we do is not good. Those people within the city that are dying because of hunger. We're going to be judged for this if we don't share this good news." And they proceeded to go back to the city and tell the people there the good news. That there was food. That there was plenty of food. And there was deliverance. And I think that's, we could apply that to us today. Then the many good times that we enjoy, the fellowship and the brotherhood that we experienced just like yesterday, the enjoyment we can have, the freedom that we can experience in Christ, the love that we can experience in Christ and among ourselves. And there's many people out there who do not have that, who are looking, and yet it's easy for us to want to enjoy it. And we're here, busy, enjoying it, and yet where are the others? Where there's many others out there. And as I was thinking of this, being fishers of men, how active are we in this? Some people say, "Well, it's enough to live it. They can see and it will speak to them." And that's true. And yet I think also we need to be willing to share as opportunity arises. Sometimes I believe people say something to give us opportunity, and when we don't take that, maybe they decide that we don't have it after all. maybe they're hoping for some word. I was thinking of even of passing out tracts. Sometimes we leave that for the young people to do. Sometimes we hear an announcement that passing out tracts, the young people meet at so-and-so and we're going to go pass out tracts. And that's good. What might be even better is if a family goes out and passes out tracts. You know, I think if you take your family and do this, it will be just as good or a greater witness. People love to see families together. It's something the world don't really have anymore, much of anymore. It brings back memories of when they were young. It shows them what they could have had, what they could have if they would follow Jesus. You know, when they see a family, I think it speaks a lot to each, to them, to those who you're witnessing to. There's nothing like a young child to reach the hearts of those who are hard. There's many ways that we can reach out. And there's many ways that I know from being here that you do reach out. Speaking to some people around and how they appreciate the different things that were shared with them and that were that they've experienced through the church here. And I wanted to encourage and you in this. The other third point I have here is our responsibilities, being responsible in our responsibilities as a family, in a family. We each have different responsibilities, the father, the mother, the children. You know, father has, you could say, the greater responsibility. And we see many times when the father doesn't take his responsibility where the family ends up. And so I want to encourage the fathers, young men, to take up the responsibility. The Bible talks about providing for your own. 1 Timothy 5:8. And we say, that's why I'm busy. You know, probably, as Mennonites, that's a verse we like. We're busy from morning to evening providing for our families. But this verse talks about, I believe, is much more about than just physical or material, providing physical and material things. What about the spiritual things? And what about the emotional things? The needs, spiritual needs, emotional needs of our wives, of our children. You know, we're strong on the material and the physical needs, and yet it seems to me many times we're a little bit weak on the other needs. And we want to remember that the things that are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal. And yes, it's necessary to provide material things. And yet God has many promises in his word. I had to think of the Sermon on the Mount where he said, after these things do the Gentiles seek. And it's talking about temporal things. But he continues on and says, But put first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you. And we need to we need to do that. We need to take God at His word. And although we need to provide materially, we also need to provide spiritual and emotional needs. We need to provide for those things. Mothers have a responsibility. The responsibility to honor the father, the husband, so that the children will see that. Sometimes we see that not happening. We see a little bit of maybe you could say competition, or at least a lack of togetherness on the parents. And that will affect the children. That will affect the children. The mother to honor and respect and to submit. Not that she's less, but that she has taken her place in her responsibilities. And like I said, mothers tend to be very responsible. We feel it probably much more when they are sick than when the father's sick. Children, obey your parents. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the earth. Them are the words of God. Them are God's words to you. How do you honor your parents? By trying to get by with as much as you can. By waiting till they aren't around, and then you can do what you want. How do we honor our parents? It's our responsibility as children, especially as younger children, as teenagers. It's important. It was important to God, so it should be important to us that we honor our parents. Sometimes we try to get by with as much as we can. I know growing up, there were times when I did not honor my parents. And I did not benefit from not. There's a great benefit in honoring your parents. And I appreciate my children. Many times they put me to shame, but the honor that they have given me. I think if we realize what our parents want and where they stand, that we honor that, we respect that, and that's what we try to do, not try to get by with what we can. Excuse me. The fourth point I have here, the last point, is our responsibilities within the brotherhood, within the church, or within the brotherhood. And a few things that we want to recognize here as we talk about this is that we are social creatures. We need each other. A person by themselves we all need somebody. And we all have needs. There's nobody here that don't have needs. It don't matter who you are or what the situation is. Another thing, we cannot be all things to all people. We're not all sufficient. We need each other to help us and to fill in those areas where we cannot. I appreciate this, the dedications or whatever of the small children, of the babies. I think there was a book written a couple years ago, something about it takes a village to raise a child. I've never read it. I've read different comments about it. But in society, that it takes more than it's good if there's a group of people surrounding a child, and within the Church of God, that is a wonderful thing. That we can have each other, and especially as we raise our children, that there's others there to help us and to give us direction at times. And even though the ultimate responsibility is the father and the mother's, that there's others who can share in the raising of that child. And we all have contributed. I can contribute. And I know there's many people who have contributed to my upbringing in the past. You know, as I was a child, there were many people who I looked up to, who had an influence in my life. My teachers and others, brothers and sisters in the church. And so it's good. And I think as a congregation that we take that responsibility serious. There are those who aren't here that maybe would be here if the whole congregation would have been a little more serious in fulfilling our responsibilities to each other and to those around us. And we can't condemn each other. Each one has to make their own choice. And yet, it is a serious thing that we are that we fulfill our responsibilities as best as we can, as the Lord gives direction, as the Lord gives us guidance. We want to remember that good is the greatest enemy of the best. So many times we have chosen to take what is good and we have left the best. Thinking about my own life, thinking about my own situations. I need to continue to seek the best and not just to be comfortable and all right with what's good, but to seek that which is best. Thinking about our responsibility within the brotherhood, there might be those who say, you know, I can serve God. I made a personal choice to follow God, and that's where I am. There are people who feel like they don't need to be a part of the brotherhood. There are those who feel like they can do more by themselves. There might be those who feel like I can be a Christian by myself. And that might be true, but my question is for how long? In my observations, I've seen many people, and as a leave the brotherhood, as they leave the church for something else, they say they're not, that they want to continue to follow God. And yet you look at them in 10 years, in 20 years, and you wonder, they're not more Christ-like. They're not separated from the world. They're not they're not where they used to be. They have changed, but is it for the better? And I was thinking, as I was thinking of this, we think of society in the years past, back in history, when there were when people were dependent on each other. And maybe back even before America was discovered, the villages, they were very dependent on each other. And there were, if they were excluded from the group, their chances for survival were very small. And we think of this in the spiritual sense, where we're part of a brotherhood. Our chances for survival are very small if we choose to leave that. You know, we're talking about physical survival for those who were living in villages, for those who were dependent upon each other in the past. And yet, today, when we look around us, at the many things around us, and we see those who are leaving the church, leaving the brotherhood, and we would say that chances for spiritual survival are very small as we do that, as we observe. Reading Acts, I was reading in Acts the last couple weeks, and in Acts we can read how as they turn to God and as they they join themselves to each other. They wanted to be a part of God's people. They wanted to be among God's people. And then we also read how persecution came along, and they went different ways. They went into different groups, and yet it seems like there was always groups as they went out. They evangelized, and they shared the good news. And I'm sure there were differences in those groups that went out, different groups that started up. And we can read about that in 1 Corinthians 12. I think Brother William mentioned that or read some of those verses about how the church is a body. And we don't have the same function. We have different responsibilities within the church. I remember a sermon, Brother John Overhaul, many years past. He's not around anymore. I was a young boy when he was here, and he preached a message. And I remember him talking about the Amazon River and making that represent as a brotherhood, or as people of God together reaching out. I believe he said that you could find fresh water 200 miles out into the sea, out into the ocean. And we think of water, we think of how water begins, a drop of water, and how together, all the different drops together, coming together and making that great river. And we could even make a picture of that of us as Christians coming together, losing our individual preferences, are losing our and melding together and becoming a great river, bring fresh water to those out into the world. And the more that we can be together, and the more we can lose our individual whatever it might be, that I think the greater our reach can be. So what is our responsibility within the church? As I read different things throughout the New Testament, we read the word of we have the word submit, we have the words honor and respect, and love and humility. Those are responsibilities that each of us have that are belong to the brotherhood. I believe we all understand. There's different verses I've written down here, but I'm running out of time, so I don't want to turn to that about how God has instituted the body and how the church is to function. But we know the submission is required. And we know that love and humility are required for this to work. And as I was thinking of this, when we as individuals decide not to, that this certain brotherhood agreement, or maybe we could say standard, or whatever you call it, is not important. I, as an individual, decide it's not important. I can do what I want. We dishonor and disrespect our brothers, our sisters, those within the church, by not honoring those agreements that we have agreed upon. And what makes us want to be different? What makes us want to continue to be an individual that is noticed and stand out and not be with exactly where the others are? I believe it's not humility, it's pride. Pride wants us to be a little different. And we all struggle with that. Wanting to retain our individuality, trying to be a little bit different, and yet that's not really what God wants or desires for His church, and the church cannot go forward when there's a lot of that within the church. Romans 12:4 talks about different offices within the church. And sometimes we look at the office, different offices, as a position. And I think that's maybe where sometimes we fail to, if it's an office, it's an office within the church. It's a fulfillment of responsibility. And with the responsibility goes the authority to carry out that responsibility. If we look at them as positions, it makes it look like the church is not all equal. And I'm not sure who's responsible for the heat and the cold in this building, if it's a janitor or who. But that's an office, you could say, within the church. We can't have everybody running the thermostat. It probably wouldn't work too good. Ron might decide it's too cold, and he will turn up the heat. And as he sits down, Michael or somebody will go over there and say, "Well, it's, you know, we need to get this thing cool down." And it can be back and forth like that. And I know in the past there have been times when one person has said, "Well, it's too cold in the church house. I can hardly go to church because it's too cold." And the next person is saying, same time, same Sunday, same at the same time somebody else is saying, well, it's just too hot. I don't know. And so how are you gonna fix that? How are you gonna fix that? And so I guess whoever is in charge of that, they probably cannot please everybody. And that's probably how it is in all the other offices within the church. We all have our different ways of thinking. We all have our different ways of doing things. And yet God says he has placed these offices and he fills them with the people he wants them to fill. And so we need to submit to each other. We need to allow those who hold them offices to fulfill their responsibilities. And I think in leadership position or whatever you might want to call it, there are responsibilities there that need to be fulfilled, and they need to have the authority to fulfill them. And although things aren't always done or handled in the way we consider or that we think it should be, we need to be very careful because they were put there by God and they were, and whichever way they do something, there will be somebody not, probably not, it won't be done in the correct way, no matter which way it's handled. And so so we need to remember that. Each office is filled by God speaking through the brothers, through the lot, or some other way. Some offices are temporary, some are permanent. But that needs to be how it is for the church to function. I can say this because I don't have an office here, and yet I know that where I am down in Belize, that there's many times you cannot please everybody. Probably very seldom can you please everybody. And one of the things for the brotherhood to consider is that it says that to the elders and to those who are in leadership position, that we give them double honor and respect. And it's easy to talk about those who hold some offices like that, because they're more in the public's eye, you could say. They have to make some decisions. And we all make mistakes. There's no one here that don't make any mistakes. We all need help. We all on the same level in that area. We all need God's mercy and grace in our lives. There's no one above that. And yet, we need to be very careful to criticize whatever office it might be, whether it's the janitor, whether it's the minister, the bishop, all those things. If we have concerns, it's good to speak to them, and yet we need to be careful. Sometimes we feel like there's too much required of within the church. There's too many rules that don't pertain to the Bible, to the things of Christianity, you could say. I was reminded of the blue fringe on the Children of Israel. We remember after they had I think after they fall into idolatry, maybe that God had said, put a blue fringe around your garments so that it was not so that they could follow God better, but it was to remind them of who they were. And I think there's things like that within the church. Maybe it's not that it helps us be better Christians necessarily. And yet the brotherhood agrees on some of these things to help remind us who we are. To help remind us who we're following. To help remind us that we are separated. And yes, maybe it's not necessarily in the Word of God, but you could say it's like the blue fringe on our garment, helping us to recognize our difference. And different churches, different brotherhoods might have different color blue, or might have a different width of fringe, whatever it might be. Might be a little, and yet they're there to provide, they're there for our good, to remind us. And so today I just want to encourage each one that we continue to be faithful to whatever responsibility, to whatever God has called us, and that we focus on the things of eternity. Because 100 years from now, probably no one that is here will be here. And so the things that are important today really will not be that important, the temporal things. But what we do as we seek God, as we seek to follow Him, as we're faithful in our responsibilities, that's what will be important. And that's what will determine if there is a church here after we leave. So I want to encourage you in that. May God bless.